morning when we are gathering as one together in this beautiful place. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a promise in the Bible that says the joy of the Lord is our strength? Wonderful morning that you have made for us to step into fresh and anew as your children. New mercies to step into. Receive this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, morning by morning. With breath. We thank you for loving us and dreaming us up in your heart and creating us in our mother's womb and bringing us to this earth to live, to be found by you, to receive your love that casts out all fear. And to be adopted as your daughter, as your son, and brought into your glorious kingdom family. Hallelujah. Thank you for the son that you sent to this earth, our Savior and our friend Jesus, who shed his blood and received the wrath and judgment that we deserved on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your name is holy. You are righteous, you are pure, you are just, you are merciful. And we exalt your name this morning. We lift you up. There is no one like you in all of the earth. In all of the earth, Lord, throughout history, in all of time, there is no one like you. You are seated on high, above the earth, above the circle of the earth. You are enthroned, Lord God. And all of creation worships you, and every knee and every tongue and tribe will bend their knee to you. Because you are Lord. Because you are Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Move. Pour yourself out without measure as we make way for you, as we yield and we surrender and we bend our knee to you to fully possess us, to fully overcome us, overwhelm us. Anything, Lord God, that would be inside that is meant to kill, steal, or destroy. We thank you, Lord, that it is gone today by the power of your love. Because you bring life and that more abundantly. We thank you for your blood that has accomplished this. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name.
Sanctuary, we behold. Oh. Almighty. Oh. His praise. Come on. Yes, God, this is who you are. We sing you. We're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy, God.
For you
are holy, God. Let's worship our God. Come on.
Over every enemy, Jesus, for my family, I speak.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Sing it again. Speak the name. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I speak, oh, your name is power. Burn like a fire. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 'Cause death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are
can stand against what a powerful name it is, your name, Lord Jesus. Break down the walls for my religion. Philippians 3, Paul goes through some scriptures and he is talking, I didn't have it on my heart to share this, but I do now. But he says in Philippians 3, verse 7, he goes through all these things that that qualified him, if you will, in the sense of religion, in the sense of who he was before Christ. But he says in verse 7, he says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And just as we were singing this of Lord, take my tradition, take my religion, take all the things, Lord, that I have set up and that I've, my ways of thinking and my ways of doing things and the ways that I approach you, Lord, but take them all, Lord, and give me your way, because your way is better. Paul says, I count everything as trash, as rubbish, as a heap of garbage compared to knowing Jesus Christ, compared to receiving his righteousness, compared to knowing him and being found in him. And I was spending time with the Lord this morning, and I was just reflecting on who Jesus is, and I was reading through part of the Gospel of Luke and just seeing how, you know, he's the deliverer, he's the redeemer, he's the healer, he's the God of the impossible, he's the God of the breakthrough. And I was reading through Luke 9 where, you know, he delivers the man who's crying out in the tombs, but then he heals the woman who has the issue of blood, and she spent everything that she has and ends up worse for it by pursuing, you know, doctors and all these things and trying to gain healing, which isn't a bad thing, but Jesus comes on the scene and he's the answer. And then a child who's dead, he brings back to life, and we see Jesus in all of these things. And yet I was struck as I was spending time with him, like, you know, I want that. I want the breakthrough for myself and for all of you. And I'm praying like, Lord, you know, you are the healer and you're the God of the impossible, but I'm also struck by his holiness. And I'm struck by who he is and his worthiness, and thinking like, yes, Lord, I want all these things. You know, I want the healings that we're contending for. I want the breakthroughs. And I believe that they're there for us, and I don't want to discount that. But Lord, let us also be in awe of you. May it be both, Jesus. May we live in the wonder of your glorious majesty. May we live in the wonder of who you are, Jesus. May we be captivated by your presence, Lord. May we worship you, Jesus, day and night for who you are, not because of a thing that you would do for us, God, but because of who you are, because you're worthy, King Jesus. You are high above. You are lifted up. You are exalted. There's no God like you. There's no King like you, Jesus. There is no one else who has ever been or whoever will be like you. You stand alone. You are high and lifted up. You are exalted to the highest place. You are given the name that is above every name, as we sang this morning. And at your name, Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth that you are Lord Jesus. You are crowned as King of glory forever, Lord. It's from you. It's for you. It's to you. All things Jesus. Lord, we receive from you, Lord, healings and breakthroughs, and we believe for those. But Jesus, above it all, we want to see you high and lifted up. Lord, that it would all be for your glory, for your name. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who sees the humble and the broken, and you stoop to be with them. In Psalms 113, it says, and I was just feeling the Lord tying those two things together, that he's the God of the breakthrough and the healing and the deliverance, but he's also the worthy one. And in Psalms 113, it says, praise the Lord. And you can join me as I sing this out in just praising the Lord, but praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we thank you that this is who you are. We thank you that you are high above, that you are above every other name, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet you stoop to the broken and the hurting and the lost. Lord, you stoop to us, Father, when we're stuck in our sin, and you call us to repentance. Father, you stoop, Lord, when we're in need of healing or deliverance. Father, you came down, Jesus, as a man, and you clothed yourself in flesh so that you could live and walk and breathe and be our deliverer and be our healer. Lord, there's no king like you who would do that. So we worship you this morning, Father. We thank you for the breakthroughs that are coming. We thank you for the healings that are coming. Father, we thank you that if there's anyone in here, Lord, who's contending or who feels like they're stuck or, Lord, that they're just on the edge of a breakthrough, Lord, that today is a day of breakthrough for them, Lord. But Father, above that, we thank you that today is a day of breakthrough, that we could see you as who you are, that we would lift you high above in our eyes, that we would magnify you, King Jesus, as the name above every other name. We thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood that was broken, Lord. That as we take these, Lord God, in remembrance of you, Lord, that we partake, Lord, in the victory that you paid such a high price for. That you are the resurrection and the life, Lord. You are the bread of life. You are the living water, you, Lord. You are everything that we need and more. So we exalt you and we bless you, Lord, as we take this. We thank you, Father, for a holy exchange, Lord. And Lord, we worship you above it all. Above it all, Lord.
As we receive communion today, we just thank you, Lord, that this would be an acceptable sacrifice as we lay our lives down. We thank you, Father, that we've been urged by you in Romans 12, 1 and 2 to present ourselves, all of us, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. And that's our reasonable act of worship and service. That's worship, beloved. Father, your word continues on to say, don't be conformed to this world. Speak to the Lord today. Put your hand on your own chest and say, Lord, I won't be conformed to this world, but I'll be changed. I'll be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I may prove your will. I may prove your will, Lord. Just tell him, I want to prove your will, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. I want to be part of that. I want to prove it. In other words, it is what it is. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. And I want to be the one that says, Lord, here I am, a completely dead person, because I offer myself to you. And I say, let your life shine through me. Let your life radiate through me. Let your life come through my words, through my actions, what I'm doing in all ways. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege that this is a time of worship. And we worship you in spirit and in truth. And there's a picture there from Angela, you can put that up from John 4:23. Put that picture up, please. Beloved, this is so important. This is very important so that we can see that this is the sign of the times, a picture of the sign of the times. What Darlene was preaching out, what she was speaking out, this is a picture right now. I saw it on the Iris website. Heidi posted it, and I went, that's it. It's John 4:23. Look at it. See this. And do you know people actually went on her site and said, that's not what it means. I thought, oh, beloved, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Can we make that an anthem this morning? Before we go any further, Lord, this is my anthem. Let's read it out together and see this as yourself saying, Lord, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. I want to be counted in that time. This is the time of great awakening. This is the time where the Lord says, I am looking for my worshipers who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Let's speak it out together. The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. This is the simplicity of the gospel, but yet the complexity of the gospel. The Lord is saying today, I am after your heart in deeper ways. For the weeest of the little ones, all the way up to the oldest. The Lord says, I'm looking for my worshipers. Where are they? True worshipers. Not a special group, not a song that makes us shake and rattle a little bit and we feel a little bit good. True worshipers of Him in spirit and in truth. I'm telling you, beloved, He's bringing us into that. The time is now. And do you know that when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and we're going to talk about that, and those of you who are with the youth today, I don't know who you are, please listen to this message and all of these recent messages if you haven't. Pastor Bill has been speaking about orphan thinking, orphan hearts, and sons and daughters of God. So powerful. And other things after that. And he's in Brazil doing the same today. Troy's going to come up in a minute and show us some things and pray for what's going on in Brazil. But just know that we're right where God wants us to be, and He's after our hearts. He's after our hearts. And when we agree with what we hear, there's something inside of us that just can't stay still. It's like, yes, that's it. Yes, that's who you are. Yes, yes, and yes. So this is a season of yes. And I'm telling you what, this beautiful 24/7 week of worship, prayer, and intercession, it was really intense. Can I say that? Intense. Intensely challenging. I don't know if any of you were challenged this week. I was. Intensely. All week. Intensely challenging. But intensely beautiful and powerful. So strong. The Lord is doing something new in our midst. Many words have been released. Many things have been demonstrated. Many people have stepped in, even doing things they haven't done before. If that's you, if you've stepped into something where your spirit was rising and you felt that the Lord was just using you and taking you over in any way, put your hand up. I'm putting my hand up. Put your hand up high in the air, not for anybody else, but for Jesus to see. This is new. This is new. The Lord says, see the new. See the new. And if you're not walking in the new, ask God for the new, because He wants to take the blindfolds off. He wants us to see what He's seeing and do what He's doing. He's doing a new thing. And if we're not challenged, oh man, we will be. But we want to be challenged by the challenger. Okay, not the evil one, but the challenger, the lover of our soul, the one who says, I discipline those I love. I'm a good dad. I'm a good father. And discipline is shaping and moving and purifying and bringing out the gold. We were at Malone University this week. Mike was one of the speakers, and something that Malone put on, and Amanda was behind that. Good job, you guys. A lot of things were shared. A lot of things were flying. And some was really good, and some was a little, probably needs a little fine-tuning as we take our cars in the auto body repair shop. But all I'm telling you what, the Lord was moving, and the Lord is saying, come on, I want you to see what I'm seeing. We heard things that were spoken out about facets of glory and diamonds that we see God with the prisms of a beautiful diamond that's shining. And He's saying, you don't want to be blindfolded looking at a diamond, kind of half-efforted. You want to see all aspects of God. And that's what's coming. And that's what God's doing right now. The splendor, the majesty, the beautiful worship today, and the beautiful communion to biggie size who God is. You know, I've heard a lot of people, even in recent times, getting all kinds of altar calls from people coming up because I need Jesus to do something for me. And you may think, well, that's the new wave. I'm telling you what, the new wave is worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And people will discover that about our good God. But He's so powerful. When you read the book of Romans, start in chapter 1, beloved, and you're going to see that our amazing God is so powerful that no man can have an excuse at all. It's inside. The Lord has designed us to see him. He's designed us to know him. He's designed us to give him our entire lives. Body, soul, and spirit, here I am. Take me, use me. And you know what? We're going to see the signs and wonders and miracles. We're going to see the things that some of us have seen before, a lot more than are being seen right now. Why? Because the Lord has shaken us up. And anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Why? Because as the glory comes, we want to be able to stand. I'm not talking about standing in his presence, because we're going to be face down with our God. But I'm saying he doesn't want us to be knocked out, because the enemy is relentless. And that's why we have Relentless Pursuit, which is coming up. Because our God is relentlessly pursuing us, and we need to be relentlessly pursuing him. Don't leave here unchanged today. You can't change yourself, but God can, with that full heart surrender. And it's going to make a difference. I saw a little girl 10 years old coming up on this stage prophesying her heart out a couple days ago. And I saw that and went, thank you, Jesus. You're not messing around. He's not looking at your age. He's saying, are you interested? Are you available? Pursue me. Go after me. Come after me. You will prophesy. You will have a word. If there's any child in here today, and we've done this before for years, but what we don't want to do is give a little clap. Like, look at that cute little girl. Look at that cute little boy. I want to see the lions roaring. And if it's one word, Jesus is King, and it's on your heart at all, the little ones, the young ones, I'm not calling for the older ones right at the moment, but any young one at all, you know who you are. Young ones are the ones who are here that still go to any of the classes. Young adults, teens, all the way down. I've seen visions of this happening even more. So if you have anything on your heart and you want to say it, declare it, it doesn't mean you have to get something so powerful from God. Oh my gosh. No. You feel something tugging in your heart and you just want to say it. Come on up here. Just stand with me. It's not hard. You can do that, because we make room for you and we make a space for that in this place. We always have, but I think it needs to be repeated again. So if there's any young one that wants to come up and say something, or maybe you do have a picture, maybe you do have something like in your mind. I don't know what that means. I just saw this. I don't know. Come on up and I'll help you. Is there anybody here? In this lovely light that always is a challenge for me. It's hard for me to see everybody in the back. I can't see. I see people, and I can't see some of your eyes because of the light. So if there's anybody, just come on up right now. And parents, you can help your children, because it makes a difference when children are helped by parents or grandparents. And I'm both. So if there's anyone, can you just come up? Thank you, Jesus. The week of 24/7 prayer and worship. What a sacrifice for so many to come out and give their hearts and lives in prayer and worship and adoration, making room for it. We'll make room for you. Have your way, Lord, in whatever you want to do. So thank you. Thank you for those who've been part of this. And for anyone online who couldn't be here today, thank you. God bless you. And anyone who would hear about this, just felt the Lord was really moving in a very strong and powerful way. It was just glorious this week. So thank you so much. Anybody? Any children? A picture, a word, a thought? You want to share about Jesus? Anything that you're wondering about? Well, I'm going to keep asking, not today, but I'm going to keep asking, and I believe that will happen even more. It's happened in the past. It's happened even in the present. But I do believe God is saying, raising up these forerunners. You know what a forerunner is? Somebody who's running after Jesus and declaring who he is. And Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And he's looking for a bride who's made herself ready. So amen. We're going to, we have a video. We're playing that, and then Troy's coming up, I think. come up. There are some pictures to show, but there's also one I want the young people to see before we release. It's an elephant. Put that picture up, if you would. Ashley has that. Is that amazing? And again, guys, Matthew 7 and 8. As you go, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom of God is in hand, right? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Oh, sounds simple. But importantly, it says, freely you've received, now freely give. Freely you've received, now freely give. So I'm inviting you not just to come and fold your hands and enjoy, like maybe I'll get something out of this, but make relentless pursuit a very big priority. It's in this place, and we're inviting anybody. So we need you here. We need you here. We need you to make a place for this, make room for this. In your very busy schedules, I do understand, but make room for this. It's very important. So please put that before the Lord. Put everything before the Lord and ask the Lord. It might be different than last year because the Lord is encouraging us to give freely. You've received. Now freely give. You've already freely received. So try.
So Pastor Bill made it to Brazil safe and sound, and he is actually at this moment probably, who knows whether he's wrapping up, whether he's just starting. You know, he started at 10 o'clock in the morning, and there's a time difference, so he's probably done by this point with the morning session. But it says, a new time of God for your life, that it's a new time of God or for God for, in your life. And so it was 1 Corinthians 2:9 is the verse that Pastor Manuel felt led to put on there, which is, of course, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So he's also ministering tonight at 6:30. That's this flyer, so that'll be at Pastor Manuel's church, as I understand it. And so we could just come into agreement, Father, that you continue to anoint Pastor Bill, that, you know, the things that you're releasing this scene, the things you are doing, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but the things that you have brought, Lord, that you just released that in Brazil. Cover Pastor Bill. Thank you for your blood covering, your protection. And thank you, Lord, for just chains being broken and freedom coming wherever he goes in Brazil. In Jesus' name, amen.
And there is a gathering at Inez's house this week, at the end of the week. And he's meeting with Pastor Jerseo for whatever is going to happen. I don't know, but he's meeting with Pastor Jerseo as well. This is a flyer for this weekend. And there's also a conference I just found out yesterday. I didn't tell Troy. That he's part of that starts next Sunday, and it's somewhere in Sao Paulo. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think. It's just kind of up in the air. The conference isn't, but my understanding of what's happening, what I got, what was told to me. So please keep praying for him, and there will be things that will be sent out to you. Just as four of us were in Poland, Pastor Bill went by himself. But it's also very weighty, and we need to pray for him and cover him, so there'll be other things that the House of Prayer will be sending out to you. Amen? Okay, and if you can put that picture up, I just wanted to give this to you, the elephant. This is a picture that I think is really cool, and I want us to see ourselves as a great elephant, mighty, powerful, carrying all kinds of goods from the Lord. But if we don't have a transformed mind, if we don't understand how free we really have been made by Jesus, then we're chained to a chair thinking, I can't move. That chair is very important because the elephant has been trained to think that it can't get away from the chair. And that's very common, and it's not just for elephants, but that's an example of the chain of bondage there, belief that the elephant does not exert who he really is. He could take and throw that chair up, right? But he doesn't recognize that because he doesn't know and walk in the full freedom from Jesus. So this is beautiful. Last night when Pastor Donahue was here, Brian Donahue. He spoke at the beginning and sang at the beginning, spoke and sang at the end as well, about the true freedom in Jesus. It was really beautiful. I exhort you to watch that. Anything that's been online dealing with the 24/7. It was very rich this week. And we thank all those who were guest worship teams that came in. It was so beautiful. And all of you who were worship leaders and intercessors as well, as I said. But see this and declare over yourself. Let's do it right now. I will not be an elephant chained to a chair. I will allow you, Lord, to speak to me, to speak to my mind, that I would be changed, to think your thoughts, to believe your ways, so I could walk in the full freedom that you've offered for me, to me, because it was for freedom that Christ set me free. So, Father, I just thank you that today is a deeper day of interpersonal freedom for everyone in here and for those who need to surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus even more fully. Let it be today, Father, that there would be the spirit of conviction that comes on every person here, hopefully before they leave, if not after. Spirit of conviction. There can be no repentance without the spirit of conviction that needs to be released and come from our Lord, that brings us into repentance because of your goodness, God. So I thank you, Father, for new souls that will come into the kingdom today, online, maybe here. And thank you, Father, for the inner freedom in the mind, the will, and the emotions, God, and in our bodies to enable us to not be an elephant chained to a chair. Thank you, Father, that we would see you in fullness in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. And there is one minute, 38 seconds. And then after this video, then everyone is released to their class for 45 minutes.
Move on to overcoming anxiety.
This is Dr. with David peace. Jeremiah.
Doesn't it seem like anxiety is like epic proportions in our culture? Mm-hmm. So describe for us the peace of the overcomer.
Well, when you talk about peace as a believer, you're talking about two things. First of all, the peace that you have with God and the peace that you have of God. Peace with God is what happens when you get right with God and you become a Christian. It's not that you're angry toward God, but he's kind of angry towards you because of your rebellion against his love. But when you make peace with God, we say that, don't we? I'm going to make my peace with God. You shouldn't do that when you die. You need to do that when you're living. Make peace with God, which means there is no condemnation. We have peace with God. So if you want to have the peace with God, you confess your sin, you get right with God, and you have affinity together.
Yeah.
But the peace of God is a different thing. How many people do you know that have peace with God that don't have the peace of God? They're Christians, but they're just totally filled with anxiety. They can't live a day without worry. All of us face some of those issues. And the Bible says that the peace of God passes all understanding. It means it's so incredible you can't explain it to somebody who doesn't know what it is. And the peace of God comes when we come to the Lord and we remind ourselves that anxiety is not God's purpose for our life.
Yeah.
In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, prayer, and nothing, anxiety.
Amen. So I will speak about that this morning. And so if you're not going to be in here, please watch this, the rest of it. The rest of you, go to your classes. Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles, if we can, to Romans chapter 11. Yeah. Amen. Romans 11:33 through 36. Amen. Dr. David Jeremiah gave a good word about peace of God and peace with God. And we've been speaking a lot about overcoming peace that surpasses and transcends all understanding. And we've spoken about it all week. We've spoken about it here for a long time. And that's our go-to whenever we're feeling anxious, whenever we're feeling the anxiety that comes from not resting in the person. Okay, because anxiety can be within and it can be coming from without, and then it can overtake us and overtake us in a way that where we just feel, oh, my body is not resting. My mind is not resting. My will, my emotions, they're just feeling triggered. And the Lord wants us to be able to experience his peace even in the worst of the worst circumstances. So what do? We go to the Lord and we dwell in his word, obviously. We worship him. We think about all of the beautiful, beautiful verses about peace. The mind that is stayed on you and steadfast in you will be in perfect peace. And it's like, Lord, make it work, make it work, make it work. I don't know if you feel that way at times, but it's like, Lord, I know all the verses, but I feel this anxiety. What do I do with it? It shouldn't be there because you're bigger than circumstances. And then my mind is telling me that. But then my heart is saying, it still feels that way. So we want to get into a place of calming it down, but getting rid of it, because peace is a person. And so the person of Jesus is going to come and enter our circumstances, especially as we know him. And it's going to make a difference in our lives. I love when he said, the peace with God encourages us to receive no condemnation and to be able to move to a place when we have peace with God of repenting even more and developing that repentant heart and lifestyle. But as I mentioned before everyone left, that we will not be able to experience repentance without the conviction of sin. The Lord is so good at that. The Bible tells us that the Lord will convict us, the Spirit of God will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And many people say, well, that's only for the unsaved people because it says world. But when we are acting worldly, when we are thinking worldly, when we're conforming to the world, which Romans 12 says we shouldn't, that's exactly what we're experiencing. We're experiencing selfishness, unrighteousness, unrepentance. We're experiencing anxiety. We're experiencing losses. We can become more of an elephant that has his foot or a part of his body attached to a chair. It's like, no. And then we can't do things. We can't operate and navigate the way we were created by God to operate and navigate. You know, when we think God is so good, I love when Darlene came up and said, I wasn't really thinking about Philippians 3. Well, as soon as she said Philippians 3, my mind immediately went to Philippians 3:10. She started with 3:7 and then kept reading it. But 3:10 says, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. I want to know you, and I want to know your power, and I want to share in the fellowship of your sufferings. Well, that's not understood without the fullness of 7, 8, and 9. Because Paul got to that place in his life, beloved, and it wasn't without a lot of suffering, and it wasn't without a lot of him face to face with God, realizing his sinfulness when he's fighting against God and didn't know it, believe it, understand it. Very religious guy, very well trained, very noted, obviously, in his culture. But he was not one who knew God. And that's when Jesus had to say, what are you doing? Do you not know who I am? No, you're fighting against me. Bam. Oh, okay. So he did experience a facet of God, however much that would be, the glory of God, that brought him to a place of incredible conviction of what he was doing against God. Because it's all about him. It's all about the Lord. not just, I don't want to be anxious anymore. I want to get through my day with no anxiety. Well, that's a good goal, but it isn't the goal. The goal is, Lord, I'm surrendering myself to you as a living sacrifice so that you can keep me where I'm supposed to be, which is dead to sin, dead to myself. That's where it needs to be. So if all these other things keep rising against me, I've got to continue to submit to your process because you love me so much. And there are many of us in here, if not all, and online, I hope as well, who are just saying, yeah, God, that's my process with you. Yes, yes, I say yes. And your word says there's no condemnation for me. So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to walk in condemnation that you're beating me up and you're shaming me. But at the same time, I'm going to feel that, whoa, I've transgressed against you, my holy God. And that's going to come from the Lord. Because we can't muster that up. So when we're crying out, Lord, I want to walk with a repentant heart and a repentant lifestyle, we got to spend time with the Lord. We got to see him for who he is. We can't really speak about him and his glory and majesty the way we've heard this morning, the way I've heard this week in many different venues, and really from our guts, from our heart, without a surrender. No. Because the Lord won't allow it. And eventually, he will make it known that's just not okay. Because the Lord is saying, this is who you are. He says, I'm looking for my worshipers, right? John 4:23, who will worship me. It doesn't say, get freed and do all these things inside, and you know, you're going to have all these miracles, and you're going to do all the stuff. No, he says, I am looking for worshipers who will worship me in spirit and in truth. That means in every part of our life, beloved. Woe be to any of us who don't feel convicted of transgressing a holy God. We need to be on our faces and say, God, help me. I need to see you. I need to see you. And that conviction then from Holy Spirit will come, and people can pray for other people. But that's how it is. So when we're filled with the power and the glory of God and the love of God, love others, love people together, accomplish his purposes, it comes from a heart. It's supposed to come from a heart of deep conviction of sin, our own sin, what we've been saved from, but what we've been saved to. Can I say that again? Conviction of sin, what we've been saved from, and also what we've been saved to. We have been saved to his goodness, to declare him, to show him who he is to others, and people can see this, and we can lead them into that so they can see this beautiful diamond and go, oh. And the Lord says he lives inside of us so strongly that we have been made his vessels to be able to release that to the people we're around. I've been in some strange situations this week where the Lord said, I want you over there. Okay. And what I thought the reason was partially the reason. And then the Lord unfolded more of the reason I was there. Because the Lord's always thinking about people, not just me and, you know, doing something would be nice. But more than that, he's looking at, what are you going to do to represent me, to represent me to the people you're around? Represent me. So you take the word represent and turn that into re-present me. And that's why, if you think about this, that's why we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And we do crazy things, don't we, for our kids and family and friends and grandkids and neighbors and all that. We do crazy things. It's like, oh my gosh, this took so much out of me. And God sees that and he cheers us on. He loves that. He loves the sacrifices that we're making. But ultimately, for his glory, and really mean it, this is the point. This is for him. This is really him. When we say, this is about you, Jesus, this is really about you, my life is about you, that's where there's going to be a big change inside of us even more, because we want to represent you. It's not doing good things, and hopefully you get some glory, if we're living in sin and we're trying to tell nice things about Jesus to others and do things, it's just negated. I'm telling you, the Lord is saying, excuse me. What you think you're doing is really not for me. It's for you. Because if you want to do what's for me, you're going to present yourself as a living sacrifice and allow me to release the conviction of sin, if you will, over you. And you're going to repent. And repent means a change, complete change in turn. That's part of salvation. So when we offer ourselves to the Lord, we're offering our sin to the Lord. That means we're repenting. When we're surrendering ourselves, which I've heard beautifully put this week, then we're saying, Lord, this is what has kept your greatness from being my portion. This kept that from me. Ah, but it's not about me. It's about you loving me, and you're looking for worshipers in spirit and in truth. And now is the time. This is the season. We were created for such a time as this. I'm so encouraged this week. We're created to live in this season. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. For what purpose? To gather up his bride who's making herself ready and to bring the world into the place where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's not wait for the Lord, for us standing before the Lord. No, no, no. He's saying today is the day. Today is the day. Isn't that beautiful? He's so beautiful. He's beautiful. He's calling us into that place of repentance, of a repentant lifestyle, a repentant heart, that we want that. And if we have that from him, there won't be any condemnation. We won't feel condemned because he says so. There's no condemnation. So he wants to dust off, shake off, and remove any shame. But there will be the sense that I have transgressed my mighty God, and we'll own that. But then we give it to him, and then we'll have the absolute amazement that you would take a wretch like me, your amazing grace saved me, that you would do that for me. And then our appreciation for our God raises. Our appreciation gets stronger. Our appreciation grows for him. And because of him, then we go into our workplaces, and then we come and we do all these great and mighty things that we can only do by his spirit. But it comes out of a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. Does that make sense? To our hearts. It's like, Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing? Who are you? How is this working for me? I don't know about you, but when I saw that picture of the elephant, it's like, Lord, I don't ever want to be that elephant. But at the same time, you can tether me to something until I do repent. I may not see who I am because I haven't seen who you are. That's the divine order. And there are a lot of ministries out there that are speaking about your identity and how God says how he sees you. And then we like that. It's like, I feel really good when I hear how much he thinks of me. But if it's not completely tethered, to use that word, to a higher reality, the better reality, the higher reality is that he's amazing. He's glorious. He is so far above. He transcends our understanding. That means he surpasses our understanding. That means that he's bigger than our understanding. That means that we can't fathom him. That means that his love is incomprehensible, unfathomable. We don't get this, but we want to get him more. We want to see all facets of his nature, every part. And that's going to be, I was going to say good, bad, and ugly, but there's no good, bad, ugly in the Lord. No, there's nothing but good. So why is that on my mind? Because I think sometimes we confuse that in our own hearts. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm a good person, and I've done some bad things, and it's kind of ugly. First of all, there is no good in us that doesn't come from God. He says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. That's kind of a scary thought. But that's in the scripture so that we will actually say, Lord, I need a new heart. And I need to understand your heart. And I don't want to think more highly of myself than I ought. I don't want ambition in my life. But at the same time, when I carry your banner of forgiveness and your blood covering in my life, in my heart, wow, I'm cleansed. I'm free. Peace is with you. I have peace with you. I have peace with you. And I believe it. I receive it. And now I move forward. And so when I have peace with you, then I can have the peace. If I have the peace of God, I will have peace with you in my mind, will, and emotions. It's very important. When we have peace with God, there's no condemnation, but the peace of God is so, so important. They can get confused. You don't want to confuse it. The peace of God that passes in all understanding, we can't explain. It's a supernatural peace. How many of us have experienced the peace of God this week? Those of us who know him. Peace of God. Those of us who know him. When we experience the peace of God, what we want to do is understand that he wants to deepen that. Understand that the Prince of Peace, the peace is a person, wants to come envelop us where we're going through our days and we're just asking the Lord, how can it be so good when I've got this and this and this, this struggle? And maybe we need to pray with someone throughout our day, and that's fine. Maybe we need to be in the Word throughout our day, and that's fine. That's all good. The Lord says, I want that peace to grow. I want that peace to generate something new inside of you, because peace is me. Peace is me. Peace is a person. Jesus is peace. The Spirit of the living God inside is peace. It passes all understanding. So when we surrender to him in all the little moments that make up our day, then we're falling into his arms of love and we're remembering his promises. Sometimes we try to find peace by just thinking about his promises. That can help. But let me throw something out. If we are hooked on just your promises to me personally, instead of the great, big, huge nature and character of our God that includes his promises, we might have a bigger struggle. The Lord wants us to be untethered. He wants that elephant, that strong, forceful creature, to be able to do what he's supposed to do and not listen to man's thinking or our own ways or misunderstand even what he was saying. Jesus always was dealing with his disciples, and he always was thinking of the scribes and Pharisees. Always. I'm asking the Lord all the time, Lord, I don't want any kind of Pharisaical thinking, Pharisaical understanding. I don't want that. I want deeper understanding. But you know what Pastor Brian said last night that was very profound and very true, which I told him after. He says, sometimes we don't need to understand. Many times we don't need to understand. But wait a minute. Isn't there the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding and knowledge and power and might and fear of the Lord? Yes. That's the full nature of Holy Spirit. But many times the Lord will take us through a process where he says, will you just trust me? You don't understand this, but just trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And when you trust me, that will enable you actually to trust others. I've heard it said this week, when trust has been spoken about, that there needs to be an establishment of trust, step by step by step by step. In the natural, that's very true. But in the spiritual, not necessarily true. Because when we go to the Lord and we invite him into process, then he can bring peace into our hearts, into our situations. And he can enable us to actually take a step of trusting what we don't understand. Can you write that down if you're taking notes? He can enable us to actually trust something or someone we don't understand. That's how big God is. You'll have to listen to it if you weren't here last night. It was towards the end. It was really powerful. And I told him, I said, you don't know. And he had a word for this place. And that was in the word at the end. And I caught it, And I said, thank you, Lord. It's so true. I believe that. But I believe it needed to be also released over online and also here. It was a good word. We don't want to get into man's way of thinking. Man's way of thinking is, I'm going to feel safe. And if I feel safe, then I'm okay. Okay? I'm not about people feeling unsafe. Don't get me wrong. Don't turn my words here by mistake or even intentionally, hopefully never. But I'm saying to you that when we step out and the Lord is saying, step out of the boat, Peter, do you think Peter felt safe? When his eyes were on the prize, his eyes were on Jesus. Jesus himself enabled him to feel safe by going, by continuing. It didn't make any sense. It went way past what this mind was saying. It went past that. Peter didn't have time to build a case. The case, there was no case. But that's what we humans do sometimes. We build a really good case for not feeling or being safe. I'll unpack this more better later another time. I wasn't planning on saying this, but this is, and we want to be in that safe place. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the place, and we want to be in that safe place with everybody, with all of our relationships. That doesn't mean God is saying, no, I don't want you to feel safe. He's saying there may be another way for that safety, that sense of safety and security to come. And it may not be with the fullness of our understanding that makes sense to us. And I think sometimes we need to remember that the Lord says, I want to break some of our religious thinking and some of our traditions. We sang it out at the end of worship today. And we want to examine that. Say, Lord, is that me? Instead of saying that isn't, say, Lord, could that be me? I do that. I exhort you to do that too for anything so that we can come together and grow together more and more, because the Lord says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, and that's what he's calling us to do here with each other as well. It's a good word. So let's take a look at Romans 11 and 33 through 36. Okay. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Let me read it again. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let me read that again. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. I say that all the time. We sing that all the time. You say that all the time. We pray that all the time. But we don't always understand the depth of that. We don't understand the depth of his unfathomable love. We don't understand that. We view him certain ways. We see him in certain areas. We want to see him more. We spend time with him. And he grows us up. But he loves us so much that he won't allow us to stay where we are. He won't. And he'll mess with us so that the things that he wants to see exposed will be exposed. Because we may not understand everything, but when we approach him, go back to the first verse, would you, in 33? When we approach this, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The depth of the riches. In other words, all wisdom and all knowledge is from him. And sometimes we won't have the fullness of the understanding behind that, but we agree with this. And that enables us to step out of the boat and even trust where others would say, don't do that. Because of God. He has a covenant with us. And if he's made his covenant with us and we have said yes, the Lord himself is able to fulfill that covenant. The Lord himself is able to and wants to bring things to pass in our lives. And he's saying, trust me, trust me. It doesn't mean we lay our brains at the door. It doesn't mean that we don't think. I'm not like that. The Lord gave us minds. And he says at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last verse, he said, I've given you the mind of Christ. He wants that to be developed. So Jesus stayed so close to the Father that the Father gave him everything. And so he learned and he grew as a man in wisdom, stature, favor as a man. It's like, what? I don't understand that. Do you understand that? I don't. So we have to offer to the Lord, I don't understand all things, and I don't have to, but I do hold you at your word. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Pray that over yourself. Lord, for me, I want the mind of Christ so strongly in me. I want the mind of Christ to be influencing my will, my emotions, my body, everything inside of me. Your judgments are unsearchable. Your ways are just unfathomable. You're that big. You see, when we spend time with the Lord, which is why I think Darlene went down this road when we were having communion, when our minds move towards how great and big he is and we concentrate there, our attitudes of worship and praise increase, get stronger. I was really listening, like I do every Sunday, but I was listening today, the Lord's heartbeat. Where are you going? What are you doing? He says, I'm raising the bar for beautiful ones, including you, to see how big I am, to see how wonderful I am, to see how gracious I am, to see how amazing I am. And he's not an egotist. And he's saying, if our hearts are just absolutely saturated in worship, praising him, do you know that he's going to make all things new? He's going to do something new in our midst. He's going to say, you're understanding more of my ways. There's a newness that comes on us when we approach God that way. And then we will step into understanding more of our identity. So don't think it's one or the other. They both go together. When you love him, the Bible says, as you know, Mark 12, 30 and 31, you shall love me with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. That means all of God, all of us. He has all of us. And then he says, and you'll love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's all about identity there. You see? There's an order here. So I'm approaching this subject from many different angles, if you're following with me here. Because the Lord is saying, I'm after your heart. And then, as we're so in love with the Lord, we will be able to see our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our friends. We're going to see them through different eyes. And it might not be a, 50-50 fun agreement, like I, need to have that in my marriage. It might be 90-10 for a long time, where the Lord says, I really want it to be 100 of you, 100% of you, and 100% of your spouse, for those who are married. That's where God goes. Because he's no respecter of persons, and he's bringing us to a place where he's saying, guys, I'm looking for my true worshipers in spirit and in truth. And then out of the abundance of that kind of heart, then the mouth speaks. And that's how we can have our plans, give them to the Lord, and they'll succeed. So we use our minds, okay? We have emotions, and our wills are just being conformed to Jesus, whatever, and we're willing to change. We're willing to do something different. We're willing to examine the way that we do life. We're willing to say, this is what I thought was the best way, but I'm going about my life a different way, even more so. And show me, and I'll change it, and I'll take the heat from someone that might be affected by your decisions in a good way. Thank Let's turn to John 4. Thank you, Jesus. As you know, that Jesus went to Galilee in John 4, and he was going to be speaking with the Samaritan woman, which we do know. I'm not going to say too much about this, but Pastor Bill and I have been speaking quite a bit together and praying through this together. But let's look at 21. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, but salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." Verse 24, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, when we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth, there will, and it's really the way that Jesus, the prophet at the time, God himself in man form, but working and moving, if you will, as a man, but he is Jesus, he's always Jesus. The woman says, this is Jesus, and the woman responds, he says, "I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus says, "I who speak to you am he." When he did that, when Jesus spoke that to that woman, can you imagine? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God-man, Jesus Christ himself, fully God, fully man, walking through this life so that he could lay himself down, but fully God. Which, do you understand that? I don't. But when he said that, "I am he," she received from him, and she recognized, "Oh, I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of the Almighty One." Maybe she didn't have the cognitive ability to open the door for each part of the brain that would eventually say yes and amen to everything. But in her heart, she received, and she was absolutely amazed. She was totally stunned. Like, what? You're the Messiah? And he released it to her. Why? Because she was a woman with all kinds of issues. She didn't just have an issue of blood and she was sick. Like the woman who had hemorrhaging for 12 years, a woman with the issue of blood. We don't know her life, really, but we know that she gave everything, right? And she paid for doctors to heal her. She gave up everything, and she just said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." Why? Because she knew that the Glory One was passing by. She had heard about him. She had thought about him. We don't know the full extent. But she made her way through the throngs of people so that it didn't matter. She was not going to be stopped. She was relentlessly pursuing Jesus. And she just knew, if I can get close to him, things will change. And that's what she did. And we rally in that, and we tell that. I've preached that for years overseas. We say that here. We believe that. And the woman was healed because virtue went out of Jesus and he had compassion on her. And he didn't even know it at the time. But she came at the meaning. He turned around and wanted to know, who touched me? Let me say it that way. He wanted to see her. He knows all things. But he wanted to see the woman. So think about this. We can embrace that fully. But what about this woman? What about the woman at the well? What about the woman with five husbands who's living with somebody else now? What about that woman? What about Jesus himself, who made himself known to her and read her mail? But yet she didn't feel condemned. She didn't feel that she was a loser, and she was able to receive the fullness. She received the conviction of sin, and she received and she repented. She came into an agreement with Jesus Christ at that time that propelled her to go tell her story. And she couldn't stop. And it brought revival. And she was telling everybody about this guy. "You need to come back. You need to listen to him. Let me tell you about it. He told me everything about my life." It wasn't just about, "Can you believe it? He knew what I did." No. She was feeling release. She felt the release from the sin because of the conviction of sin, because of no condemnation coming from Jesus Christ. That's an amazing story, amazing account, amazing. So not only did the disciples not get that, she just passed by them and she went in and she told the story to a lot of people. Go see this guy, go see this guy. And eventually they went and they said, we don't even need your story anymore. In other words, go somewhere else. Tell somebody else. We got it. We're going to go towards him. That's the go in our hearts that comes. It's a Jesus, I can't help but proclaim who you are because I worship you. You're so amazing. You are so amazing and you set me free. So when we have that conviction, holy conviction inside of us, look what you have done. Look who you are. You love us so much that while we're yet sinners, you demonstrated your love for us and you sent your son Jesus to die. That's how much you love. I can't even, what? Do you know that we're designed to hear that? And we're designed also inside to receive that. That's what we need to preach. And also Jesus does great things for us. But people, Jesus is looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit, worship him. That means I worship you. I'm just not getting free from things. I worship you. That's what she did. And that's why she was able to go out. She was propelled to go out and give her testimony. It's so beautiful. Just so beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Let me find out. Let's see here. From that city, this is verse 39. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all the things that I have done. So many people miss that. They think that, well, he was a prophet, and you're just excited. Are you kidding me? Think about that. Think about that. That's what she's saying. She's running. I got to tell you about Jesus. It's innate. It's in people. That's why we go into all the world and we preach the gospel to the poor. That's why. Because the anointing is on us when we're free. And the enemy likes to mess that up. The enemy likes to tell us, you know, stay in your lane. Just stay in your lane. And the Lord says, hey, there's no lane here. Go. And that's what she did. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Jamie, are you in here? No? Is there anybody who can be on the keys at all? Ash, okay. Many more believed his word, and they were saying to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. And when we see that he's the Savior of the world, guess what? He is Lord. And that woman, she said in her way, it's a demonstration here, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is trying to tell us something here, guys, even about the way that we offer the gospel when we're sharing with people with in mind that Jesus is Lord. And he's looking for worshipers in spirit and in truth, and this is the season. So God doesn't want us to stop short. The enemy does, but God, the Lord doesn't. Think about this for yourself. How is this meant to propel me? What have I been freed from, and what have I been freed to? Thank you, Jesus. After 2 days, he went forth there into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. And you know what? He went from there, and he went to Cana, and he went and he healed the nobleman's son, and miracles continued. But Jesus is saying, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you today. Beyond where you are today. Every one of us, me first. It's like, Lord, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Saved by grace. For it's by grace I've been saved, through faith, not of myself, not of anything that I could work up. But Lord, let it be that today, there would be a new level of truth for each one of us, that our God is on the move. And he's saying, listen, if you have been saved from something, you're saved to something. Let others around you know that. Don't shrink back. Let them, help them. Help them come into that safe place. Look at people differently as we look at ourselves differently, and help them take the steps to realize how great and how big God is, so that they will come into a place of desiring to know him. Because conviction of sin is a big deal. We can't do it. We can't. Did you feel convicted of sin before you got born again? Not really. Maybe felt some remorse, but true conviction of sin comes from God, to be able to receive the blood sacrifice, to be able to receive what Jesus did on the cross, to be able to know and believe that Jesus raised from the dead to give me new life. So when we go to our God and we're spending time in his presence, and we're even with our families, our kids, grandkids, cousins, friends, whatever, it's about Jesus and how great and big he is in the way that we communicate, in the way that we do life, the way that we see life. It can make a difference. That's radical living, but it's really normal Christianity. It is. So the Lord says, don't be stuck. If you can't get that elephant out of your mind, you say, Lord, is that me? Maybe so. I don't know. I just saw the picture and felt God said, show it today. But if that's today, if that's for any of us in our thinking and what we are so sure of, maybe the Lord is saying, I want to snip those chains. So when you're free to worship me in spirit and in truth, there will be a freedom that you've never experienced before, way beyond what you've seen, way beyond what you've felt. Don't let anything hold you down, and don't let people hold you back. No, never. Never. They may balk at it. People around you, they may not like it, but they will respect the fact that you respect God and how great and big he is. So Father, tonight or today, I thank you, Father, that you have given us a word. You've given us what you wanted to release today, that we make room for you, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in each one of our lives and hearts this morning, Father, that we break down, or you break down all the barriers, Father, that we are released of any pride that we have to understand every possible thing about you or about even a situation. But Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you are so brilliant and you are so full of so many facets of glory as a diamond shining from every angle, that we would be positioned, not stuck to a chair, to be able to see the fullness of your beauty, the fullness of your glory. Thank you, Father, that we would receive your holy conviction for anything that is not straight from heaven, that maybe we've thought, maybe we've been part of, maybe we haven't even seen or realized. Let it be, Lord God, holy conviction, that we would have a change of thinking, a change of mind, a repentant heart, with no condemnation, but recognizing how great you are. Let it be today, God. Thank you, Father, that today is a new day. Today is a great, great, great new day, a day of adventure, a day of knowing how amazingly full it is to be with you inside of our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something. I just had a picture of it. I'm going to ask all the people in the back to come up near the front, all the people in the front to come over to the sides. We're just going to have a little circle right here, right in the middle. And we're going to hold hands because we need that. We must need that because he just showed it to me. So right in this area, okay, everybody come out of your pew or chair, right in here. Right in here. Just hold hands with people. Okay? We're all going to pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Mm-hmm. Everybody, that's all people, please. And if you're at home, you and Jesus are a majority. I'm going to read this over you right now. This is Romans 12. I'm going to read this over you. And if you can just close the circle, Troy, would be good. For through the grace given to me, this is starting in verse 3 in Romans 12, and this is our prayer, Lord, let it be. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, Father, I just thank you that today these words of life from Romans 12, 3 through 21 become more of our portion. Thank you, Father. Let it be that today there's a solidarity of heart in this place that is free from judgment, free from condemnation, free from hypocrisy, free to love, free to be all the things that have been mentioned in Romans 12, 3 through 21. We rejoice in you today, and we are devoted to you and to each other. And as your word says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good. So, Father, may we see what is good today in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. So just love on some people around you. We're closing today and we'll see you Tuesday. Just be with other people here and connect with others. Don't stand in a circle. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Teresa, can you put some music on?
This one thing I